Today on Real Life Radio.
See, today you can say, I don't want Jesus, and you can get away with it for a while. There's going to come a time when God says, that's it, time's up. And whatever you're believing at that moment, you're going to be sealed in that point in time.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Pastor Jack's book of the month for June, it's called Disciplines of a Godly Man by R. Kent Hughes. This timeless book's been speaking to the hearts of men for the past 10 years with engaging illustrations, scriptural wisdom, practical suggestions, and even study questions. Disciplines of a Godly Man is called an inspiring guide for men who want to reflect God's glory in their lives through their family, godliness, leadership, ministry, and so much more.
We've got to get back to disciplines. That's what's going to keep us stable for what's next. There's going to be something next. And we want to make sure that our feet are grounded, that we're standing on a good foundation, and that we've got some good disciplines in place to take on the next storm.
This newly revised edition is for every man who wants to know what it means to be a Christian in today's world. Disciplines of a Godly Man. It's available right now when you give a gift of any amount at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called A Time to Be Watching, Part 2, continues his series called The Book of Revelation, a book of God's final announcement to the world. And this final announcement can be summed up in just a few short words: the unveiling of Jesus Christ. You see, in chapter 16 of Revelation, Christ is showing us who he is and what's going to happen to the world. He's showing us in advance. Right now, the Lord is still offering a way of escape from devastation, even hell. But there will come a time when that offer will expire. There are those who've already given up on waiting for Jesus. But then there are those who are eagerly expecting his return. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us that all those who are watching for the Lord's return are taking in more of the Bible and less concerned about the things of this world. We're also praying about everything and doing our part to share the gospel to all who listen. And now in his message called A Time to Be Watching, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
So Father, now we pray that as we look into your wonderful truth, that out of it, Lord, we would behold wonderful things. For we ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Grabbing your Bibles then and turning to Revelation chapter 16, we started, if you remember, in 16 verse 1, and we raced all the way through up into verse 14, and we just kind of got into verse 15. And I asked you to look at your Bible carefully, because in your Bible there, it should have verse 15 in red letters. That is Jesus speaking. And we made mention how it's been a long time since we've seen these wonderful red letters of his. And we haven't specifically heard from him since the writings of the letters to the seven churches. Now Jesus speaks in a chronological manner. We are now at the end of the great tribulation period in Revelation 16. There are the last throes, the last events of the bowl judgments that are being poured out upon the earth. It is a horrific time. And yet we've designed this, now listen carefully, we've designed this study both last week and this week, specifically around verse 15. And here's the reason why I'm doing this. We have spent a lot of time looking at the judgments of God as we've commenced in this book. We now come to the worst of the worst, and we'll touch on it, but in the midst of it, there's a reason why Jesus speaks in the middle of this chapter. There's a reason why Jesus speaks, and it's recorded in red. And it's to give hope. And the amazing thing of where you and I are at right now is that though you and I have the wonderful prerogative of reading this chapter now, while we're safe and calm and peaceful and secure, we're reading about an event that will be yet future to a people who have been persecuted. Most of the believers, a great host of believers are now dead because they will not be submitting to the Antichrist. The world will be against the Christian at that age. There'll be few of them remaining. And then on top of it, there'll be a few Jewish believers who have come to faith in Christ. And it's just a remnant that's left here. And so right in the middle of all these horrific events, of these tremendous judgments of God against the, listen, Christ-rejecting world, they will not repent. We've already read that. These tremendous things come and they're shaking their fist at God and they won't repent, says the Bible, twice in this chapter. They will not repent by virtue of these judgments upon the earth. They're angry at God. But they've rejected Christ. You and I, listen, I don't care who you are right now. You can be the most unbelieving, atheistic, evolution type of person right now, and you can say, I don't care about any of this. Well, listen, regardless of your belief and regardless of your persuasion and where your stance is right now, you are benefiting from the fact that God has not yet implemented judgment upon the earth. We mentioned last week that the great tsunami is not God's judgment. Those are natural events that happen in this world. And there's going to be a lot more events that happen in the world. But there will come a time when God specifically commissions seven angels. In our study today, we're talking about the vile judgments, where they will pour out their judgments upon an unbelieving world. And listen, that will be their judgment for never believing in Christ. See, today you can say, I don't want Jesus, and you can get away with it for a while. There's going to come a time when God says, that's it, time's up. And whatever you're believing at that moment, you're going to be sealed in that point in time. Jot it down in your notes. It's alarming. Every time I mention this portion of Scripture, people get all wiggy. And you ought not to panic about it. We don't like to hear it, but it is true. It's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Just jot it down and study it with all your might, because here's the reason why. It fits in perfect with chapter 16 of Revelation. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Bible tells us that there's going to come a time, and that's yet future from where you and I are sitting right now, when God will give up on those in that they will not have a chance to accept the gospel any longer. 2 Thessalonians says that God will send them strong delusion, the unbelieving world, so that they will believe the lie. A specific lie. And most scholars believe, and I do as well, is that it's the lie of the Antichrist and his regime. And it says that they will be condemned. And it tells you the reason why. They will not be able to believe in Jesus Christ because while they had time and opportunity to believe in Jesus Christ, they would not. And so God sealed them, or God gave them over to their unbelief. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says that their judgment will come upon them because when they had opportunity to believe, they would not. And that would become their judgment. They'll be lost. You might say, well, Jack, does that mean people that I know who don't know Jesus and they're still rejecting Jesus? And if the rapture should happen, will they come to believe in Jesus? This is what it means. If they've heard the clear gospel, I mean the clear gospel. I don't know how many Christians actually give to their friends or neighbors the clear gospel. That's why you need to be involved in the calm ministry of evangelism. To present the clear gospel. The Bible says there's going to come a time when someone, after they've rejected the clear gospel, the door of opportunity, like it did with Noah and the ark and the great flood, the opportunity will cease. And because they did not believe in the love of the truth, they didn't believe in what God had offered, God will send them strong delusion, a great judgment. So remember that as we look to this terrible, tremendous chapter. Now we pick it up where we left off, and we'll spend some time right here in this verse. Revelation 16, beginning now at verse 15. And so the scripture says, behold, Jesus speaks, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. And they, that is the demonic spirits and the activities that we read about last time, and they gather them together to a place called in the Hebrew Armageddon. Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl in the air, and a loud voice came from out of the temple of heaven, from the throne, saying, "It is done." And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such a mighty and great earthquake as had not occurred since men were on the earth. Now the great city was divided, that's Jerusalem, into three parts. And the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Then every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And great hail from heaven fell upon men, every hailstone about the weight of a talent. Or you can write down about 100 pounds, about 98 pounds. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, since the plague was exceedingly great. What I want to look at this morning as we look to this title of the message again, and that is a time to be watching. Looking at our second consideration here in verse 15, it's a time to be watching in the book of Revelation for those that will be alive at that time because of this. Because it's what God's people do. Remember, we touched on that last time. When Jesus says, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed are those who watch and keep his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." It's important that we understand this. And again, we pick up where we left off last time. That watching and waiting for Jesus can be put in a category or a point as this. That we want to be watching because it's with joyful expectation that we're watching. Every Christian who understands their Bible, church, listen. That if you understand what the Bible says about Jesus Christ and his coming, you are going to be absolutely excited about his return. But you might say, "Well, Jack, I'm nervous about his return. I feel uncomfortable about that. I'm a Christian. I'm born again. I love the Lord, but I'm nervous." And I want to ask you right now, why would you, in your heart right now, why would you be nervous? Why are you hesitating when you think that he's coming? In your mind, you might say, "Because I'm not ready." Why would you not be ready? Now watch. A, you could be doing things that you ought not to be doing, and the Holy Spirit is saying to you, "You're not ready." That's possible. B, you could be one who has trafficked around Christianity. You've been in and out of church and all that stuff, and you really enjoy being around Christians, and you even consider yourself a Christian. But there's a check in your heart. There's just something that is saying, "I'm not ready. I don't feel accepted." You need to deal with that right now with the Lord. You need to say, "God, what is it?" When we were together last time, I put this out before you. If you knew Jesus was coming back at 2:00 today, what would you do? If that sends a shockwave up your spine like, "Oh no!" Fix that today. Fix it right now. C is if this morning you say, "Now listen, well, I should have done this. I shouldn't have done that. I wish I would have done this in my life and in time and the other thing, but you know what? I know Jesus died for me. My sins are forgiven. And I, with great humility and some tinge of sorrow, look forward to his coming." I think I speak on the behalf of almost, and if not every believer that's in here today. That would be a good evaluation of ourselves. If you knew that Christ was coming back today, all of us could say, "I haven't walked as close with Jesus as I'd wanted to." Can't you say that? Can somebody say that with me? Isn't it true? How many people did you lead to the Lord? All I have to do is ask myself that question. And it brings me back to a ground reality, you know? How many people did I lead to the Lord? And that's important to the Lord. And I didn't do that. How much money did I blow on stupid things that now as my life nears its end or the Lord's return is upon us that I wish I could take back and spend for his kingdom all over again? You know what I'm talking about? I know you know what I'm talking about. Or maybe we would think the thought of, "Boy, I tell you, I wish I would have found out more about what God had in store for my life. I wish I would have listened to him more and turned off the radio more and turned off the TV more and sat with him more to hear what he has to say." We all understand that. But we can also with confidence say, you know what, Lord, in the midst of all that stuff, I know that you died for me. Church, listen, do you know this? I know that you died for me, Jesus, and my salvation is not based upon anything that I do. It's all based upon what you've done, that you've only required of me to repent of my sin, meaning this, ek homo legeo in the Greek, ek out of the same homo, the same legeo word, out of the same word, or to say the same word. Lord, I say the same word that you do about my life. I've sinned, but you died for sinners. I love saying that, church. You hear me say it often. You know why? I know what it means. Jesus died for sinners. That's why Paul the Apostle said, regarding sinners, Paul said, I am the chief of sinners. Can you imagine if the apostle came? What would you do right now? This black donkey pulls up with tinted windows. Doors open up. This guy comes in. It's Paul the Apostle. He comes up. You know what you do? You pull out your all of you would pull out your cell phones with the cameras on them. You'd be taking pictures of Paul. There's Paul. You'd get on your phone. Hey, you know, you'd call your friend at some other church. Get over here. Paul's at our church. Paul is at our church. We have a tendency to exalt God's well-used human elements. What would happen? And we all have people like that. You know, I love Charles Stanley. I don't know Charles Stanley, but I love him. I listen to, you know who I'm talking about? Charles Stanley and his preaching. And I listen to him so much, I realize over the years, I've listened to him so much that I've found out, I'll say to you, now listen, you know where I got that from? Listening to Charles Stanley. I didn't know it for years. And then it dawned on me. But now it's part of the fiber of my life. And plus, I have teenage girls. Now, listen, you know? But, if Charles Stanley came in here, and I know we're not supposed to do this, but it's, oh, that's Mr. Stanley, please. Speak to us, you know? And yet, you know what? He struggles with sin. Did you know that? Well, how do you know? Well, I don't know the man. But you know what? If Elijah struggled with sin, says the Bible, then so do we. And this tendency for us to exalt God's servants is something that causes us much problems. Because, listen, hang on. Don't mean to hurt your feelings right now. But it's true. Many of you, and I love you for being here, and I love you for coming. But I've gotten notes over the years. You like when I'm hiding behind a massive wooden structure called the pulpit. You love it. You like the distance between you and I. I don't. Thus, this plastic thing or whatever it's made out of. I had to get rid of this thing. That's why this has been here for the last few weeks. I've hated that pulpit. We're trying to talk with one another, and all you see is knuckles and a head. Charles Spurgeon said it's as though it was a corpse. He's trying to peek his way out of his coffin, and then he goes back in. Jesus didn't use a pulpit. Paul didn't use a pulpit. It's like a barrier. I don't like the barrier. But we have this tendency to keep the distance. Pastor, will you wear a robe? I've come from a church. It's hard for me. I'm distracted by your clothes. So a robe. We have robes back there for Christmas and the worship group. Should I put a robe on, you know? On and on it goes. And listen, here's the punch. Here's the punch. Can you not be so transparent with us with your life? Because the church that I came from, it's not like that, and I have a hard time. I want to see you as something, and this is the danger. This is the danger. We will not do this. You don't do this. That's why we're together. We understand this. That God only is sinless. God only is pure. Am I advocating sin? No. Do we all hate sin? Yes. Are we walking better and more upright with Jesus now than we were last year? Yes. But Jesus alone is God. died on the cross for our sins, rose again from the dead to set us free. And when I realize and when I remember that Christ could come back today, in all of my frailty, in all of this stuff that Paul said, we are earthen vessels. We need to understand that when he returns, he is not coming with a hammer. He is not, in fact, Hebrews tells us, chapter 9, verses 27 and 28, that when he comes back for the believer this time, he's coming back apart or independent from the sin question. Why? Church, listen. Why? Because the sin question has been dealt with. It's over for us. When he comes for us, be it today, he's going to say, church, come up here. And we're going to be going, oh, Lord, no, I'm not worthy. Of course we're not worthy. Oh, Lord, I want to go. Listen, is that what's in your heart? Lord, I want to go, but I haven't been very good. I haven't led many people to the Lord. I haven't tithed very much. Can you imagine? And the trumpet of God will blow. All those who have tithed 15 to 17% rather than those tithing 10, come up. All those wearing robes, come up. Think about how stupid that is. That's why the Bible says for the believer who is not walking with, listen, the believer who's not walking with Jesus when he comes, the Bible warns that that believer will be caught being ashamed. And many legalistic movements have taken that belief, or that scripture, I should say, and they've made it into a doctrine that's not. That when Jesus comes, if you're at the movie theater, you're not going. If the rapture happens and you're backsliding at that moment and you're pounding down a beer, you know, and you're a Christian, but you're still... You know, you can't take this marriage, or I can't take my kids, and you're panicking, and you go down to Joe's Bar and Grill, you're backsliding, you pop open a beer, and you're saying, I've had it, I can't take it, and the rapture happens. Listen, many, many people believe that you're not going to go. If you happen to have walked wonderful all your life, and you turn around and you bite your cat or your dog for some evil it's done, and the rapture happens, you're not going. And it's so stupid to think that way, and it's non-biblical because those are gross outward sins. You can be looking sinless and have a filthy thought in your mind, the first one you've had in 25 years, and the rapture happens, and according to that legalistic thinking, you're not going. No, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that when he comes, and if you're doing things you ought not to be doing, you will be ashamed. In other words, Lord, there is no rapture of the super. Now, the context of our scripture this morning has nothing to do with the rapture, but the hope that Jesus speaks about is applicable to us today and to those in the future during the tribulation period. Real
life. Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Life Radio, with his message called A Time to Be Watching, Part 2. We're glad you took the time to be here today. A Time to Be Watching, Part 2 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation. It's a series on the final book of the Bible and the unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Did you know that the Bible has a lot to say about the future? Our future. It's called Bible prophecy. And never before have current events come together so perfectly as to align with biblical prophecy. That's why I want to tell you that on Sunday, June 26th, Pastor Jack's going to have a special event that you're really going to want to be a part of. It's called Israel, Russia, and the Coming Global Reset. What's next on God's prophetic time clock, and what can we expect to see happen? The event will stream live on all Sunday services, so mark your calendars right now for June 26th at 8 a.m., 10:30 a.m., and 1 p.m. Pacific Time for a very special Bible prophecy update from Pastor Jack Hibbs. To find out more, visit jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.